I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's RBC Heritage. Joining me to break it all down, Kyle Porter is here. KP.
Hey, bud. I can't believe we're already back at it. I feel like I need like a month to recover from the Masters. Is such a like State of the Union type week, not just from a press conference standpoint, but just from a where's your game at? What does this mean for your career? Like all that stuff. And it feels crazy to be firing it back up a week later or four days later.
With a field like this, with a signature event.
Right.
Right. I mean, I guess it would be one thing if it was just Punta Cana and guys that didn't necessarily play in the Masters last week, but I'm like my head spinning a million miles an hour, trying to stay on top of everything.
Yeah. I mean, could they not have switched this with Zurich?
I don't know.
Like, it doesn't seem like, I know that stuff is planned out. Like, we've got the 2048 US Open, you know, on the books, but like, it doesn't seem like switching it a week is like the biggest thing in the world.
I wonder what RBC thinks, because there's, I guess, a case to be made that, hey, you're playing in Georgia. I'm sure they chartered flights or whatever it is. Just come and play the RBC Heritage as well. And I wonder if that was the case when this was not a signature event and it was written in the deal like, hey, we always get the week after the Masters. I'm sure it's contractual in some way.
Yeah. I had another. I was watching this morning and it just is like we'll talk about Scotty in a minute, but he looked like he won the Masters 4 days ago. Like he looked cooked early.
That, and I don't really care. And I think Scotty can do whatever he wants. All these guys can do whatever they want, but I'm not sure it's the greatest look to say, hey, the best player here that just showed up Wednesday night because he had other stuff to do. You know what I mean?
Well, but like all these are like sort of what we're getting at here is all these things are saying the quiet part out loud, right?
Right.
Of like, oh, yeah, this is not that important.
Right. You said it.
I mean, like, and I don't mean that it's not important. Obviously, it's meaningful in terms of, it's meaningful for the JT Postons and the Seamus Powers and the Austin Eckroats and all that. But for Scotty, it's like, I don't know. I mean, when does PGA prep start? You know, it's, and that's hard. I don't, and we've talked about this a million times. I don't know how to balance the regular season with the postseason while they're going on simultaneously. You know, that's just a really hard thing to do. It's a tough spot for the PGA Tour, but I just don't know that playing the week after a major in a fashion like this is ever the answer.
You mentioned Austin Eckroat, and he was one of the early movers early with a 5-under 66 KP. You know, his year has been okay, except for that win at Cognizant, just a bunch of like middling finishes. He wins at PGA National, and now he is in the mix here again for at least 18 holes. He's three shots off the lead. We'll get to that guy in a second, but he is really, I think, maturing into a nice little PGA Tour pro. And I'm interested to see what that progression looks like over the course of the next couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's funny. I covered, so he was on that team with Victor Hovland and Matthew Wolf and Christopher Ventura and Zach Boshu, all of whom are pros now. Five pros, and two of them were arguably like top 20 players in the world at the time, which is like insane for a college team. But he's really, he's not a late bloomer because he was the youngest player on that team. He's a freshman when Hovland and Wolf were, I think they were sophomores. I think they left after 2 years. But yeah, you're right. Like, he's evolved. This is a more natural path to the PGA Tour than what Hovland and Wolf did, right? Where it's like, okay, yeah, you're going to play Korn Ferry for a little bit, and then you're going to struggle, and then you're going to get better, and then maybe you win. And he's had a really, I think, for anybody, or for most guys, a pretty successful career so far. So he played well. You know, it's interesting, all these guys at the top, Rick, that we'll probably talk about, really putted well, which is not an unusual thing to see on a Thursday. But it's almost like the top five matches the top five in putting, which is kind of, that is a little bit unusual. Usually you have somebody that just hit it better than everybody else. And we didn't totally get that throughout the day on Thursday.
Yeah. I'd be pretty surprised if, JT Poston wins, Seamus Power finishes second, you know, Patrick Rogers finishes T5. I'd be pretty surprised if all that.
Yes. Yes. Mackenzie Hughes, yeah, top five.
That's why we're going to play all the rounds here. Well, Cam Young, who has had kind of a weird, not a weird little career, but was just by far the best player, like best rookie that we had on tour, then kind of stumbled in 2023, starting to play a little bit better. And KP, he shot a 4-under 67 that featured three pars on the par five. So he didn't even take advantage of those holes. I would generally say that that's a pretty good sign for a player of Cam Young's par five scoring acumen.
Yeah, I agree. I guess my question for you would be, are you surprised when guys whose primary, not primary, but featured skill set is length, have success at this golf course?
Sometimes, yes. However, I was only fooled when Cam Young did that once. Because I remember 2 years ago, and we were still learning what Cam Young was, and they got to Harbortown, and I was like, worst spot on the schedule for him. And then he was like, shot like a 62 in the opening round and was in it throughout. And I think it was one of his runner-up finishes or one of his podiums. What I just think happens, KP, is that if you look at it by saying distance and power are kind of the same thing. So yes, he does not get to use driver as much as he likes. In fact, he was 58th in driving distance because his average drive was 289. So he's laying back basically everywhere. He just now gets to hit shorter clubs into all the greens. So his advantage that he has, instead of coming on the first shot and the second shot, still exists on the second shot. So it's not like it is completely neutered from his game.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it was DJ several years ago that had a lot of success at this golf course. Well,
and at Pebble, which is like a club down course.
Yeah, which is, yeah, great point. Which is a little bit the same thing as Cam Young. Needs to get a win. You know, it doesn't, I don't need it to be the Masters. I don't need it to be the US Open, but he needs to. We can cue the clip of me saying this about Scottie Scheffler from fall of 2021, and then he's won, you know, 10 times since then. But it'd be cool to see him get that first win this weekend at RBC.
The man they all chase is a man who went out fairly early on Thursday. He was in like the 10th or 11th group out, and he was fire on the first nine. He went out in 30 KP. He made a birdie on 10. So he was 7 under through 10. He gave one back, just one blemish on the card. Number 12, he made a 5 there. That is a bogey. And JT Poston will enter the second round, 2 shots clear of his playing competitors, thanks to basically doing everything right. 4th in strokes gained approach, 2nd around the green, 2nd in putting. That's how you build a lead after just 18 holes.
Yeah, you know, he's interesting because he had probably the best West Coast swing of his career. Not probably. I think he did, right?
Yeah. And then he got to was like, what?
It wasn't good. And so he's been kind of hard to figure out this year in terms of like he's been a little bit of an outlier on either coast. Like he was better than we expected and on the West Coast, worse than we expected on the East Coast. But he finished T30 at the Masters last week, so had a good week. You know, for somebody like him, and you know he's leading the tournament because he's 2nd in putting, and that's sort of how you put some distance over 18 holes. It's such a volatile thing over the course of 72 that I'm interested to see if it holds up. This is a good spot for him though, because he has played well this year. He is, I think, really underrated in terms of a ball striker. He's a really good player. Is he Ludwig or Cantlay or Rory or Zalatoris? No, but I think he doesn't come to people's mind when you think about that second or third tier, like the Russell Henley type. And I think he's definitely however you want to tier it. I think he's definitely in there and has been for most of 2024.
Yeah. The other thing is, he has missed 2 cuts here in his last 3 trips, but he's got 3 other top 8 finishes. So this is a golf course that tends to be a bit more experience based. You know, you can learn the nuances about getting around this golf course. So Poston playing well again at Harbortown. He's at 8 under. That is the pace. Nobody else in at anything better than 6 under. And I can officially say they are done. So this is complete. We've got the entire afternoon wave, including guys like Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Ludwig, Jordan Spieth, all that fun stuff coming. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back. KP, before we get to the heavyweight fight of the Chase Pack, there is a conversation brewing right now in regards to a heavyweight fight between you and I, and it's stirred by the Moose himself, Joe Musso. It says, who wins in a cage fight, 5-round championship bout, Porter or Gaiman? First off, I'm not sure either of us could last five rounds. I mean, I would be exhausted in 2 seconds. And I also don't think by height or weight advantages, this would be a very fair fight. I think I'd have my hands full.
Yeah. If it doesn't involve a keyboard, I'm probably not going to thrive. My buddies give me a hard time for that all the time. I think I would have some, if we had to get to the same weight, I'd have some real issues because, this is funny. I think I could outrun you, but everything else, I think Joe is right. I saw his comment. If we don't keep it on the, if I don't keep the fight on my feet, then it's going to be a problem for me.
Here's the thing that I'm not sure you're willing to do. I'll fight dirty, right? So I will poke you in the eyes. I will bite. I will gouge. Like whatever needs to happen. I think you are much more of a gentleman, and I don't think that you would stoop that low.
Yeah, Paul's right that we would both be in tears 90 seconds in. We're not like, I know that's supposed to be like a jab and funny. Like we are admitting that. Like it's not. Nobody's like bragging over here about our ability to fight.
That would absolutely be the most result. 90 seconds, also very, very generous. I think I'd be in the fetal position shorter than that. The afternoon wave, my goodness. We got a vintage Jordan Spieth round where he went out and birdied 4 of his first 5. And I'm thinking, okay, here we go again. You never know what you're going to get. It's RBC Heritage. He has a lot of success here. Bogey on 7, bogey on 11, bogey on 13. He had a great, you know, moment that you clipped there where he's, you know, already reaching for a provisional, or is he reaching for a third ball after hitting his, I mean, it's just the whole thing.
He almost needed a second provisional. that strike 3 call right there is just, that should be his logo, honestly. First of all, can we talk about the hat?
Yes. So this Under Armour hat, which it's the selling point that I understand about this hat is that you can crumple it up into a ball and then it returns to its form, which is something I have never required from a hat before.
Well, I was going to say who asked for that? Like who was like, I need a hat that I can crumple up into like, it looks like a piece of paper that I'm throwing away. No, and nobody.
And then have it just return back to its natural curve.
Nobody asked for that. It's not good. It's bad.
And also, not, it's not going to look like a normal hat. It's going to look like a cheap, crappy hat. So if I took off this hat right now, like a, just a normal hat and crumpled it up and it came back, I'd be like, okay, cool, whatever. I'll never use that. But maybe if I throw it in my suitcase, that might be handy. But no, it's just a crap hat.
It looks like a helmet.
Yeah.
It looks like a soft helmet. It's so bad. What do we make of him? You know, it's been a weird year. This is the first year, Rick, that he has played pretty well and then just been a disaster at the Masters. He's had years where he's been bad at the Masters, but they came because he was playing, or when he was playing poorly overall. And I think the thing that I was thinking about today is I just don't really trust him right now. I think you can maybe always say that about Spieth, but that's just my feeling. Is like, yeah, the four birdies in a row, it's nice, and it's funny to joke about the roller coaster, but like, it's kind of just going to end in like T27s unless he figures it out.
I'm pretty worried. It's something. He is awful at something every day, and the something changes every day.
It's like the opposite of Scotty.
Correct. He was nearly dead last in putting today. He lost 3 strokes putting. And tomorrow he might be the worst in the field on approach,
mm-hmm,
off the tee. It is just, there is no rhyme or reason to anything he's doing.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. He does not feel, you know how we talk about Scotty, where, yeah, here's his strokes gained recently. It's all over the map. It's some bad approach, some good approach, some bad around the green, some good putting. It's not good. We talk about Scotty being so well-rounded, you know, like there's a floor there, you know what you're getting, but it's not just the physical aspect. It's mental and emotional. Like, he's just very well-rounded. And Spieth to me feels like exactly what you're saying, which is the opposite of like, yeah, the ceiling is there, but every day it's maybe tomorrow it's the emotional side. Maybe on Saturday it's the driving. I mean, it's just always something else. And that's not a recipe for sustained success at a high level. And yet he's going for the slam in the next major. So it's the whole thing is just very bizarre. I don't know that there's ever been anyone, at least in the modern game, I don't know that there's been anyone like him.
The ceiling remains the same. The floor he kind of keeps digging lower on. And I don't know if we're at the bottom yet.
Well, I think the ceiling in any given day remains the same. I think the ceiling for like a week or a month or a year has come down a little bit, because when you lower the floor over time, the ceiling is naturally going to drop.
Speaking of floor, speaking of ceilings, they're basically the same for Scottie Scheffler, and it's like the best player in the world. He showed up Wednesday night. He played 9 holes. He said he was going to see the front nine when he got out there this morning. And that's exactly where he started. Par on one, birdie on two, double on three. A little smack in the face, a little punch in the mouth. He was even par by the time he got back to the turn. And then he got two birdies late KP to post a 2 under 69. He's in a tie for 26th after 18 holes.
Yeah. I was actually watching live whenever he had a shank out of a bunker on three. Did you see this?
I didn't see it. I heard him talk about it.
It looked like it hit. I didn't know it was a shank until he said it afterward. Cause he hit it and it looked like it hit the lip, and maybe it did. Maybe he shanked it and it hit the lip and just kind of shot off to the right. And he couldn't get up and down from there, but he looked not checked out. That's like unfair to him, but he just looked mentally exhausted, which is, dude, those major weeks, think about how tired you and I were. We didn't even play. You know, like it's such a mental and emotional grind. And you're just getting a version of him that's it's not bad. Obviously he shoots 69, but it's just different than what you got going into API, going into the Players, going into the Masters.
I was exhausted after every single day and every morning. And when I got home, and yeah, I made zero swings with a club.
Yeah. He's still, I mean, he's still in it. I wouldn't be surprised if he was like top three favorites.
I'm going to assume that he is. Ludwig. Oh boy. You know how we had that thing that I recorded about Scotty, where he's just like always in the mix. He loses. We're just going to need to record something that says Ludwig was a ball striking beauty who shot 4 or 5 under par. And then he chuckled in his interview afterwards. And he's just a couple shots off the lead.
Well, the numbers driving wise are scary.
Yeah.
He hit, 13 of 14 fairways?
Missed one. Yep.
And averaged 293, which for this track is up there. It's like 8th or 9th or something. Mm-hmm. He, I think, led the field in ball striking, second in ball striking behind Russell Henley. And he did nothing else. I mean, he was fine short game. It was kind of zero. He's really good, and he's really fun to watch. You know, I think I was talking to my wife the other day, and she's like, you know, I watched some of the Masters. I don't really know a lot of the young guys. I was like, what about Ludwig? And she's like, well, I don't know anything about him. And I was like, well, you need to figure it out. Like he's extraordinary. And he's just, I saw, I think it was Scotty talking about him and just said, hey, he's like really fun to be around. Like he doesn't take himself too seriously, but he takes the work, like he takes his craft seriously, but he doesn't take himself seriously, which I think is just like an enjoyable person to be around and root for. So his rise has been crazy, right? Like I think we've kind of been talking about him, like, oh yeah, he's really good. And you look up, he's 5th in the world right now? 4th?
somewhere around there. Yeah,
I mean, that's nuts.
I thought he was 9th, but I guess after last week he's probably higher
than 7th. He's 7th. So he's between Victor and Cantlay. He was in college this time a year ago.
Yeah, he has not even been a professional for a year yet.
Let's see what Datagolf has him at. 4th. Scotty, Xander, Rory, Ludwig, Rom, Fleetwood. I don't know about that. Max, Tyrrell, Neiman, and Morikawa is your top 10.
Well, we talked about it before. We've talked about it before where, like, basically since he turned pro, it's like Scotty, maybe Rory,
and Xander-ish.
Yeah.
And Ludwig.
Just, yeah, it's sick.
Like his numbers over the last, like since he turned pro, I think are like a lot better than Rom, even if you include the live stuff.
Yeah. No,
I mean, Rom at the end of last year was just kind of, you know, meandering a little bit, but he's crazy. And the swing is just, I don't know. Swings can always go wrong, but it just looks really good.
Somebody said his swing I think it was somebody saying is Louis Oosthuizen swing. Looks like a door is opening and a door is closing, right? Yep. It's just on a hinge. Whoop, whoop. That's what I think of every time I see Ludwig swing.
Yeah, but with a body that can like handle the power.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of handling the power and playing alongside Ludwig was Rory McIlroy, who birdied the first, eagled the fifth. He did cough one up on number 12, but KP, he finished with birdies on 17 and 18 to turn this from an okay round to a very good round of 67. He is 4 shots off the lead, but he's only 2 shots off of second. And this is a course that he has very rarely played and a spot on the schedule. I think I went back and looked. The last time he played the week after the Masters was like 15 years ago.
Was it really? Yeah. Was it when he coughed up the lead?
No, it was like this event in 2009.
Okay, so that was like baby fat Rory.
Yeah. He almost always the next event he would play is Wells Fargo, which would be like a month later.
Yeah. And
sometimes he snuck in like a players when that was in a different spot on the schedule or the match play. But the last time he played the week immediately following the Masters was like this event in 2009.
And now he's playing twice before Wells Fargo. He's playing a lot.
He's playing a ton.
He's playing a lot for a regular PGA Tour player, not and for a superstar. It's like an insane amount, an obscene amount of golf. He had a quote though after the Masters. He said something like, "I love it right now. I love golf right now." And that's so unusual, man. It's such a underrated. I don't know that it's a skill set, but it's an underrated characteristic that I think goes a long way. And I didn't see a ton of his round. I saw him more early on with like the Scotty Spieth group. But the numbers are pretty good. Did you see more of Rory's?
I did. I actually thought there was, a lot more to squeeze out of this round. It was kind of a vintage Rory 67 that could have easily been a 64. Right. He didn't drive it particularly well. He had a couple of kind of not ugly, but like not great approach shots, but held it together and then got two birdies late. He's using that mini driver, which I think is awesome. Yeah.
He's also talked about, and Scotty talked about this at the Masters, just teeing it at different heights, depending on what you want to do with it. I know that Mark Immelman reported that with Rory earlier this year, teeing it down versus teeing it up. And he did only hit 50% of fairways, which is not great, but he's one of the guys where you look at, wow, his short game is really good. Maybe that'll be a bonus by the end of the week.
The man that Jordan Spieth's the guy that I have zero feel on. The guy that I only have about 10% of feel on is Colin Morikawa, who shot a 6 under 65, gained a stroke and a half on approach. But even with that, I mean, he was kind of unhappy with some of his approaches and got away with a few of them. He did make a lot of putts. If he shoots in 76 tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised. If he shoots another 65, I wouldn't be. I'm lost with this dude.
Wouldn't you like to, I think he's lost. Wouldn't you like to be lost and be posting 65s?
Yeah, I would. I would. Very much so.
Just the way he was speaking at the Masters, it felt like an outlier, right? I think that's why some of this is like, wait a second, he's not speaking as if like, oh, I found something, I got a feel, we've been working to, he's kind of speaking like, oh, this is kind of crazy that this is happening. And you're like, well, I don't know what to make of that. It feels like that U.S. Open at Brookline. Remember when he couldn't hit his cut and he was hitting this like 3-yard draw. He's like, I don't know. And you're like, you're leading the U.S. Open after like 40 holes.
He's a really bad narrator of his own.
Who's worse between him and Brooks?
Brooks, I think, might be doing it strategically. I think Brooks might be saying stuff in hopes that he will convince himself of it by saying, yeah, like, only 10 guys can win. Ugh, have you seen this course? Have you ever played this course? You're an idiot. Like, I think he's trying to convince himself of that. Colin, I don't know, man. He's just like, I stink or I'm amazing. But that, like, I don't know. It's just he's never right about it.
I agree. I don't know what to do with him. He's got to be. He might be the favorite right now, though. It's got to be him or Ludwig. I want to see it.
All right. That was the cue, Josh. Let's see it. Colin Morikawa is the favorite. 6-1, followed closely by Ludwig at 7, Poston at 7, Scotty at 9. Wow, twice his pre-tournament odds. Rory McIlroy at 11, Cantlay, we didn't even talk about, lurking at 12, Sahith at 16, Cam Young at 20.
I think what's interesting about this list, Rick, is each one of these guys, a win here, like, does something for me, right? Morikawa, it's like, okay, we're going into major season. Are you going to get number 3? Like, is that going to happen? Ludwig, it would be his, like, oh, this guy might be the second best player in the world. JT Poston, I think, would be a cool story. Scotty, 4 out of 5. Rory back on track. Cantlay, first of the year. Sahith, I just like him, and I think that'd be a cool story. And then Cam Young getting his first. I think any of those guys winning would be a cool story.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think that Scotty gets better now that he is in the heat of the battle and he's back to the routine, and him and Ted Scott are so routine oriented and they can just roll right through this, or does all of this keep catching up to him at some point?
I don't know. You know, I was thinking about that today. I think it's the former, because he played a lot better on the back nine, but I do remember the 2022 PGA at Southern Hills, which I think was his, I think it might've been his first start after winning that Masters. And he missed the cut. He was bad, like maybe his worst tournament of the last 3 years. And I don't think he's as emotionally exhausted this time around, because he knew more what to expect from winning a Masters. But I've got that in the back of my mind, is like, huh, that was interesting. He was really bad in that major, and that was sort of some aftershock or like the in the after effect of that 2022 Masters.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think it is better now for him, now that he's okay. It's Thursday night. He knows what he does on Thursday nights. He's going to get out there on Friday. He's going to play another 18. He's seen the whole golf course now for the first time. I think we're going to get a Scotty move on Friday. Now, I don't know if it's going to be enough to make up ground on the lead plus Colin plus Ludwig plus the guys ahead of him. But I think that if you liked Scotty at all before the tournament and you were too nervous at the 4 or 4.5 to 1 odds, I think the 9 to 1 with 54 to go, probably going to get an improvement. And technically, I guess he's guaranteed 3 more rounds. I think that's the path.
Yeah. 66 tomorrow, then he's back down to 4 to 1.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all he does is shoot 66.
Yeah. It's hard. It will be hard for him not to. Sick stuff. Okay. Anything else before we get out of here?
That's it. Going to finish up my writing, and then, Chick-fil-A night at the Porter home. So
what do you get? What's your order?
Well, I'm not a huge Chick-fil-A guy, but my wife is out, so it's just convenient. And tonight I'm going nuggets, but putting them on a salad. So I'm kind of mix and match there. Not a salad from Chick-fil-A, a salad that I have at home.
Oh, okay. Do you ever get the milkshakes? We're big on the Chick-fil-A. Actually, we just had a Chick-fil-A. We had Chick-fil-A milkshakes like 2 days ago.
Yeah, I have. I like the seasonal ones, like in the fall, or like they. I think they did a peach one at some point.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I've had a couple of them. I try to stay away from the milkshakes a little bit, but
yeah, me
they're
too.
They're very good.
They're unbelievable. They're like 1,200 calories a pop, but they're unbelievable. Right.
After walking whatever 50 miles at the Masters, we're good.
I tell you? Can I tell you that I gained 7 pounds last week?
No. 7? How?
Dude, I was exhausted and I walked so much. I think I just ate everything. I mean, I found myself, there was a day I found myself just eating a bag of Skittles. I'm like, I haven't had Skittles in 15 years, but just because it is available to me and like around, I'm just munching.
Well, I almost canceled us out because I lost 3. So.
Okay. Well, we're getting. I'm already getting back on track. But that was tough. I ate a lot. But
that's crazy.
I know.
With the amount of, I mean, we seriously walked like 60 miles. I think I can't remember what the number was, but it's
obscene.
It was a bonkers amount.
Yeah. So.
That's funny. Well, off to Chick-fil-A I go.
All right. We'll be back on Friday, Saturday, Sunday to break down the rest of the RBC Heritage and anything else that goes on in the world of golf. For now, big thanks to producer Josh, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. Kyle Porter is available at Kyle Porter CBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.